Psalm 19, 12 to 14. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So Jesus dying on the cross for our sins is the most important act God has accomplished for us. This act enables us to be friends of God instead of enemies of God. For those who aren't saved by his grace are true enemies of God. Those living by their own righteousness and justifications are enemies of God. His death on the cross reconciled us to him in order for us to have communication with God. He wants a real relationship with us without hindrance. By believing all that he did for us is true, our walk with God will be wonderful, and his blessings for us will be evident through good times and rough patches in our lives. We always hear about Paul in prison rejoicing with God. Not about his situation, but the fact that he knew he was there for a reason, and he was there because of God's work, or the fact that he knew that there was a reason why he was there, and it was because of God's work he was in prison. So Paul and Silas were in prison once, and this is what happened. So Acts 16 through 40. So once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when they saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, and you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, and he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the orders, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we were Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers report this to the magistrates, And when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left. Paul's faith in God allowed him to sing hymns in prison and allowed him to be bold when he was released from prison. Can you imagine going off on a judge nowadays? Paul had no fear of mere mortals because his God was on his side. It's all right to be angry, but it also says in Ephesians 4:26-27, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. We also see Jesus get angry in the temple because these merchants were hindering people from the house of praise. The hindrance of sin in our lives truly ruins our relationship with God. There is no peace, no joy. The trouble will keep piling up. And God allows this to happen for his glory. We are his children, and he is right beside us while this is happening, no matter what we think. That's why he sent his son to die for us. Confessing our sins to him allows him to work in us what is pleasing to him and not ourselves. This is not a green light to do whatever we want. We know this because we love the Lord. Recognizing hindrances and confessing him strengthens our communication with the Lord. One of the biggest hindrances that can be very detrimental with our relationship with God is unforgiveness. On a side note, this has nothing to do with our salvation. That is secure from the time we received Jesus into our lives and accepted him as our Savior. Matthew 18:21-22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Some Bibles say seven times seven. But we see how Jesus prays, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We could drive out of this church service and someone will cut us off. We could go to work and someone is definitely going to make us angry. We can have someone we love die on us. Or have been dead for a while now that we haven't forgiven. This is detrimental to our walk with God. There is no joy. In our lives without forgiveness. In Matthew 6:14-15, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Our salvation is a product of forgiveness and the forgiveness of sins. This forgiveness should exude from us because of this. We want to be known as forgiving people because this shows others the love God has for us. This statement, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins, is a plain and clear statement. We are called to do this, and when we don't, that fester of unforgiveness shows in our lives and lives outwardly. That is why he tells us, as plain as day, to forgive others. There is not hidden insight to this statement. If I want to be forgiven, I must forgive. God will do the rest. By doing this, his peace will be evident in our lives. This doesn't mean we can't be angry about a situation. We just don't want our anger to lead to sin. We see throughout the Bible God's wrath and anger. We also see Jesus get upset. But we also see God's hand in every situation, for he is the all-sovereign God. We need to believe this, or we aren't believing in him and making up our own religion. God's hand is in everything. We need to allow him to do his work without meddling about with our own personal affairs and beliefs. This requires humbleness before God, knowing he is in control. We get a glimpse of what goes on in the realm we cannot see in the book of Daniel. So Daniel 10, 10 through 14. Daniel 10, 10 through 14. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. So the angel Gabriel told Daniel what had to happen, or what was happening in other parts of the world, to answer Daniel's prayer. But we see Gabriel tell Daniel why his prayer was being attended to, because of his humbleness before God. With unforgiveness in our hearts, we can't come to God in humbleness, and we can't hear what God is trying to tell us. We can also help fellow believers with forgiveness. This is shown with Paul's appeal to Philemon. Paul wrote a letter to Philemon, a believer in Colossae, who, along with others, was a slave owner. One of his slaves, Onesimus, had apparently stolen from him and then ran away, which under Roman law was punishable by death. But Onesimus met Paul through Paul's ministry and became a Christian. Now he was willing to return to his master, and Paul writes this personal appeal to Philemon, asking that Onesimus be accepted as a Christian brother. Philemon 1 through 25. It's the whole book, so if you guys want to read along. Paul, a prisoner of Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Aphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, or of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you would do, would not seem forced, but be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, perhaps, or prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now, we don't know what happened to Onesimus in the end, but more importantly, how did Philemon act to Onesimus' return? This question is left to us to determine in our own eyes. Although in verse 21, Paul is confident that Philemon did the right thing. Our confidence comes with the grace Jesus bestowed on us by dying on the cross. Asking the Lord to help us forgive one another is what he wants us to do in prayer. His support allows our heart to change. We can't do this on our own. Verse 25, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Are we willing to forgive even after someone steals from us or robs our joy? Is grace filled with our spirit? So Martin Luther said in one of his commentaries, even as Christ did for us with God the Father, thus Paul also does for Onesimus with Philemon. We are enemies of God in the flesh. Jesus acts as our benefactor, making us clean from all sin to present ourselves before God. New believers and old believers need prayer and help sometimes with situations they have no control over. All of us know a Onesimus, and all of us have been in either Paul's position or Onesimus' position. We are blessed to have the Lord Jesus on our side, forgiving us for our sins on a daily basis. The real question for us is, are we willing to forgive others just as Christ forgave us? True forgiveness is final. We have peace afterwards, and joy re-enters our demeanor. And then Psalm 130, 3 and 4. Psalm 130, 3 and 4. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. And then to conclude, Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.